Well, it's a privilege to be here, ladies, and to see so many familiar faces and some new faces. And when I say it's a privilege, I really do mean that. Somebody sent me a picture last night. I was about 16 years old. It was a picture from way back because I'm approaching 40. But in that picture, I definitely was not serving Jesus. And I didn't think about it last night when I saw the picture. But when I was worshiping the Lord reminded me of where he has brought me from. Like Rosalind said, the power of his Holy Spirit. And so to look back where God has saved me from and to have the honor and privilege to open his word and to share that with you ladies, his daughters, it really is a privilege. So thank you. And I thank the Lord for his the sanctifying process. So let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. Thank you that you have brought every single woman here with great plan and with great purpose. Thank you for their hearts to continue to abide in you and to remain in fellowship and to be hungry for your word and to seek after you. There is treasure and great reward in you, Lord, in their obedience. And so I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have it to learn from it, to grow from it, Lord. And I just pray that as we dive into this short portion of scripture, that you would do what only you can do in each of our hearts individually. I trust and I know that you'll be working in one heart and then in another heart in a completely different way. And so we thank you for that beautiful work that you will do today, Lord. Again, as I have been praying, Father, get me out of the way of myself, Lord, none of me and all of you, and allow me to speak what you would have me to speak today. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to dive into our portion of scripture. We are in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as sisters, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." So, you know, it's been said that most Christians are willing to have one mind as long as that one mind is their mind. And as we take a look at 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9, it's helpful to kind of understand the context of the entire book. So Peter wrote this book inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he was speaking to Christians who were under great persecution, and they were discovering this newfound faith. They were learning how to stand under that persecution in a time where people hated Christianity. And they had to exemplify what it meant to be a follower of Christ to their Gentile and Roman neighbors. And so Peter is encouraging them and teaching them and exhorting them how they are to act and how they are to respond. Well, we know that God's word never fades, it never fails, it will always stand. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit was speaking to the saints then, and he's speaking to us today. And I think it's also a very timely message as we sit in a time in history where Christians aren't looked at as the favored people, and things have kind of gotten a little crazy over the last couple of years. We've seen the heat really pick up. And so I believe that the Lord desires that we live out our faith so that we can shine so that others will be saved. So as I've been studying this portion of scripture, it was way before that when the Lord had led me to a passage of scripture in Matthew 12:25. So this was for my own life, but I believe he asked me to share it today as well. It said, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And so as Yvonne shared, I believe that when the Lord calls us to share and teach a word, first he works in us. And so he takes us through things because he's always sanctifying us. And so I will say that this last year of my life has taken me through a lot of uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable conversations, and uncomfortable conflicts. And I remember one particular day when the Lord gave me this passage of scripture, I was sitting on my couch and I was irritated, in all honesty. I was so mad and in conflict with somebody. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be the one to make this situation right. Like, that person can be the one this time. And these were my thoughts in my head. And I opened up my portion of scripture for that day and I was reading. And loud and clear, the Lord said, you can absolutely sit there and you can remain there. Or you can know that if you continue in conflict, you will be divided. And the work that I desire to do in and through the two of you will not come to pass through you. And so that was really evident for me. And so as I've been studying, as I said, I've faced many conflict through this. And how we deal with it has everything to do with how we represent Christ to the lost and dying world around us. And so I have three key points that I'd like to go over today. One is being like-minded, and two is showing us how we are not to be, and then three is having that kingdom-minded. So to be like-minded is to be one in the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 says, it speaks of the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us and declares that if the Spirit of God is in us, then we have one mind in Christ. Well, Ephesians 1:5 says that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. As we have been adopted into the family of God, we now have one mind in Christ together through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but if I usually go to a store and a stranger starts talking to me, I could tell pretty evidently if they're like-minded, if they love Jesus. I could kind of get that through conversation. And then you could kind of tell if somebody doesn't through conversation. But knowing, this morning we were praying and somebody was praying and said, we know, right, we're to be of one mind, but sometimes we do have to work towards that. And so God in his creation and beauty created us all so differently. So there are several things that can't be changed in the Christian faith that are black and white. Jesus is the only way into heaven, right? We know that. We know that he died and he rose again for our sins. And without that, there's hell and damnation. We understand that. But then there are things that are a little bit gray through the word. And so I believe that it's learning how to remain like-minded in Christ through the different seasons and through the different changes, through the controversies and all of those things is what's important. And so though I could meet somebody in the store and we could be like-minded and I could feel that maybe deeper into conversation, we may not have the same opinion in one area or the next. And 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that there is one body with many different parts, and we all have a different function and role to play. So David Guzik's commentary on this passage says, we could say that Christians should be like a good choir. Each one sings with his own voice, and some sing different parts, but everyone sings the same music and in harmony with one another. I love how Roz led us into worship this morning, and I could hear all of your beautiful voices just worshiping the Lord, and our eyes were fixed on heaven. Our eyes were all together in unity fixed on Jesus. And I believe that as we continue to abide in Jesus and drink deeply from his word, our mind will be focused and on him. And as we come together, our minds will bring him glory, and we can link arms together and glorify him. So there's this portion of scripture that really jumped out to me. It's John 17, 20 through 24. And this is the prayer of Jesus. So Jesus, right before this passage, he was praying for his disciples. But then he goes on to pray for all believers. And I really believe that this portion towards the end of it really links together the portion of scripture that we're in today. So Jesus, in prayer for us, says, my prayer is not for them alone. And that was meaning his disciples. But I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I are one, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I'm going to read that last sentence again. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And what keeps replaying in my mind, and I didn't have it in my notes, but as we were worshiping, is they will know us by our love for one another. So, as I stated in the beginning, it is easy to be of mine when everyone thinks like us, when everyone dresses like us, when everyone acts like us. But we know that that's not how God created it to be. We're not robots. We aren't all going to look the same outwardly or even have the same indifference of opinions. But I believe that if we look to each other and see that we're all image bearers of God and learn to appreciate those things, we can know, oh, God has created that person for that ministry, for those people that he is trying to reach, right? So we're all each called. Some people are called to harder parts of the streets to be a witness and minister. And some people are called to convalescent homes to minister to those people. And God has given us and gifted us each a different thing for us to point people to Jesus. So I think sometimes we get focused on others' differences and flaws, that we don't always get to appreciate that they're image bearers of our same creator. So the scripture goes on to say to be sympathetic and to be compassionate. So I stated before how we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and maybe you didn't grow up and you didn't have siblings, or maybe you did and you fought with them a lot, or maybe your home had a lot of fighting and tension, and so unity in a home is kind of maybe a little different and foreign, and so jumping into the word where it says you're to be loving and kind to your brothers and sisters might be new. But I want to share a little story. So Yvonne shared that I lead an enrichment program on Mondays. And one of the sweetest things is to be out on the playground. And what I've witnessed is we have brothers and sisters in our program, and they flock to each other. They don't leave other friends out. In fact, they'll grab their brother or their sister and include them in with their group of friends, or vice versa. And they just gravitate to each other. And I love that. But on this particular day, one of the siblings, there's four of them. One of them, he sits about in the middle, and he was running on the blacktop and he fell. And every person knows if you fall on a blacktop, that's like the worst. So he scrapes his knee and he begins to cry. And his sister was over on the like monkey bar area, and she immediately hears his cry and turns to him and runs towards us, because at that point he's with me. And she ran towards us and she embraces him with just this fierce motherly love. She, in fact, put him to her like this, to her chest. And it was so beautiful and so precious. And it was one of those moments you just like wish you had a camera to send to the mom and all of that. And so anyway, she's holding him and she's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And so I invite her to pray over him. And so she prays over him, make sure he's okay. And she goes on with her day. But for me, it really showed me a picture of, and I checked my own heart, Des, do you do that when you see your sisters in the faith maybe have fallen? Do I have thoughts of judgment before I come running to them to embrace them? Or when I see them hurting, am I loving and am I welcoming? I think the opposite of that gives us an example we all know is Job's friends. We see that when Job was hurting, Job did nothing. We know that. They didn't know that, but their first assumption at that time was that Job did something wrong, and they were not as compassionate as they could have been to him. And so those two pictures I feel the Lord blessed me with, so that I can continue to see in my mind and make that decision Des, who do I want to be as a sister in the faith and in fellowship? So to be tender-hearted, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. So sometimes it's hard to forgive those who have wronged us. I know not one person in this room has been without hurt and pain of another person's words or even their actions. Or maybe your children have been hurt by somebody else. And I'm a mama bear, and so I feel that to the core of me. Like, you can hurt me, but don't hurt my children. But the Lord is even showing me in that you can righteously stick up for yourself and you can righteously stick up for your children and be a defender of especially the littles. However, are we doing it in love? And I think that is the biggest thing that the Lord reminds me. Before you go in defense, have you prayed? Have you searched your own heart, Des, to see what may be in you or to see what I'm trying to show you of yourself? So I did. I grew up in a very loving family. Family was everything. We knew from a very young age, you stick up for one another. If somebody's picking on your sibling, you're right there with them. Particularly, there was this one day. So I grew up in two homes basically growing up, but the first portion we lived on, my younger years, we lived in a cul-de-sac, and there was a lot of boys, and it was a really fun neighborhood because we would get in the cul-de-sac and we'd play baseball, kickball, all of it. People had like actual front yards with grass still at that time, it seemed like, and so we played like lots of fun stuff. Well, one day though, there's about five or six boys, and my brother was friends with all of them. Our house kind of sat on the hill, and I look over and I see that a lot of the boys are picking on my brother. Now, my brother's older than me, but I saw that and I immediately start to go to hop the fence because I'm going to fight. I'm like, I'm going to protect my brother, even though he probably didn't need my protecting. And I remember my dad came out and he's like, where are you going? And then I fell over the fence because he... And I was like, I'm going to fight over there with Firm. That's my brother. And he's like, what? And so it was good. But that was how we were raised, right? It was you protect, you look out for each other. And in a sense, there's so much to learn from that to say, yes, we're called to love and to protect God's people. We just have to learn to do it in more of a godly way. That's something that God has undone of me. And if you come to Sunday nights, I shared not too long ago, the Lord told me, you can fight in the kingdom, but it just looks different than the fighting you were used to before you came to me. And so I've had to realize that I've had to put on the full armor of God and fight back, right, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to get on my hands and knees and to pray rather before I use my words or even physical altercation. And so I think that's what it is learning God's kingdom and God's way over our own way. And so, as I said, I grew up in a really loving family, and me and my sister were best friends. I love her, but we're 6 years apart. So when she was born, she was like a little baby, and it was great. But then she started getting older, and she started kind of annoying me, and she would put holes in pictures I'd have hanging on the wall when I was a teenager. She was not, and she thought all that stuff was fun. But it wasn't really until she came to Jesus that our hearts really, really, really interlinked. We always were related by blood, and we were super close growing up. If she needed me, I was there. If I needed her, she was there. But it really has been not our blood relationship, but our blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, that has linked me and my sister together. And so maybe you don't have sisters outside of, you know, or in your family you were born to. But if you look around, you have a whole room and a whole body of sisters that is far greater and far more powerful because we are linked and grafted in by the blood of Jesus Christ. So there have been also plenty of bad examples, right, in the Bible that we see where siblings haven't always been the greatest. One that we know is from the very beginning of time when Cain killed Abel. Jealousy, pride, and envy led Cain to kill Abel. And how about Joseph's brothers? Jealousy kept them from showing their brother love and betrayed him by selling him to become a slave. Now, I'm sure Abel and Joseph were imperfect, right? I'm sure they antagonized and Maybe they were even a little boastful. But what could have happened in those situations if those brothers had not given themselves over to jealousy and to bitter hatred or even reviling? Psalm 34, 11 through 16 is actually quoted right below chapter or right in verse 10 by Peter. So we're not going to dive all the way down into that, but I am going to read that portion of scripture because right after Peter gives this call to how we're called to be in Christ as brothers and sisters of the faith, he quotes this in Psalm 34, 11 through 16 says, "Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth." Something that really stood out to me in that portion of scripture, it says, "And his ears are attentive to their cry." Now, going back into chapter 2, right before this, and then also the beginning of chapter 3, which we're not going to get into, but I do think it's important to see that Peter is also making a call to how we're called to submit to government as long as they're not asking us to do something against God. And then also wives for our husbands and how we're also called to be employers to our employees, to our employers. He uses the slave and master situation to share that. So with that, he goes on to tell the husbands that if they are not living in a right relationship with their wife, with understanding, their prayers can be hindered. And so when I read Psalm 34, as Peter also went on to close and to share that, it was, if I am in conflict and if I'm not desiring to speak good of people or be in right relationship with people, is the Lord going to heal my heart? Or is it hear my prayers? Or are my prayers being hindered if I'm backbiting people or if I'm gossiping about people? I've really been, and I want to say something. I could tell you how many times I go to speak something and I feel the Holy Spirit say, "Shut your mouth." Because I am telling you, sometimes I'm like, that is not of God. Where is that coming from? And so this last year, as I have been in a position that the Lord has called me to, what I've seen is that the Lord is really using it to search my own heart and to change me. And really the prayer for me is Psalm 139, 23 and 24. God, see what is in my heart. Know what is there and test me. Know what I am thinking. See if there's anything in my life that you don't like. And help me live in the way that is always right. And every time I say test me, when I'm praying that, I think to myself, okay, because the Lord, he does, because he wants to grow us. He promises that. Pastor Rob just spoke about that on Sunday. I believe it was this Sunday, that God is faithful to complete the work that he begins in all of us. And so knowing that when we are brought together as sisters of the faith, there will be conflict. If you are in the body, you know you're going to rub elbows wrong with somebody at some point. And so it's really, how are we going to react when that does happen? So I believe that the enemy likes to use conflict as a tool to bring division, which clearly in the scripture I shared before, how the Lord told me that a house divided will not stand. A church divided will not stand, right? So God has been faithful to show me the error in my own ways and to continue the sanctification. And I believe that's the same for all of you. I'm sure you can look back and see so many conflicts or so many trials or so much testing taking place in your life. And you've grown from it, right? You've had a time where you know you could have, you know, like for me, I think, man, the old Des could have come out. Thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit came out instead of me, because I don't want to misrepresent Christ. So when I first came to Jesus, I think I was about 6 months in. And being 6 months in, like I said, I came from lifestyle of fighting, and if you didn't like somebody, you told them how you felt, and if they didn't like it, then you walked away and you never spoke to them again, even if it was family, if that's how it was. Well, this one particular time, I was right here at the 99 cent store, and I was loading up my stuff. Me and my mom were there, and there was a girl behind me, and she's throwing her stuff, and it's like cantaloupes and things, and they're coming all on the our stuff. And so I'm like, oh, I'm being nice. I'm thinking, and I'm like setting it nicely back for her. And I said, oh, here you go. And she looks at me, and maybe she knew me from before and didn't like, I have no idea. But she basically starts saying stuff to me. And I'm like, what? And I'm so caught off guard. And I remember even in that moment, and I believe that it was the power of the Holy Spirit. I know the old me, I wouldn't have reacted to stay quiet and not to say anything. And I got in the car and I didn't even know how to feel, to be truthfully honest. I get home to my house and I fall on my knees and I start crying. And I just cried out to the Lord, like, there was this part of me that wanted to fight. And then there was this part of me that felt humbled, like, I'm not called to that life anymore. And this, you could just see this spiritual battle taking place and learning how to be kind to people, even when they're not. And what could have been the example to her? You know, I think Jesus Freak on the back of my car at that time. And could she have seen my car walking out and saw, oh, she didn't respond? I don't know. I'll never know this side of heaven. But I know that God used that lady in my life in the beginning to show me, you are not who you used to be. And so the Lord is sanctifying us, right? How about those good examples of brothers in the faith or sisters in the faith? As I was preparing for this message, the Lord really put on my heart Andrew and Peter. And I've always loved how Andrew, he found the treasure. He's like, I know this is what we've been waiting for. This is, our lives are going to forever be changed. The oppression that we're feeling, right? And he goes to Peter and he tells him of the treasure that he has found. And I believe that, you know, and you can recall for yourselves when you first got saved, going to your family and telling them about Jesus and then seeing the Holy Spirit work in them and then they're being saved and even going to random people that you don't know and just being so bold in your faith and telling them of the treasure. And so I always love that Andrew did that with his brother Peter, and we go on to see that they did mighty works, and we go on to see what the works that God did through Peter. And so I just love that brother relationship. Then I also think of King David and Jonathan. They actually were not even blood related, but they were by faith, they were brothers. And their relationship, it tells us and through the word that they loved one another with this great bond. And I think of Jonathan, he had every right to feel jealous. I mean, David was really, Jonathan could have been the one to take over the throne after Saul. So Jonathan could have been feeling like, well, if you weren't here, then I could have this. But he didn't see David as a threat. He surrendered knowing, well, this is the will of God. God has anointed David. And so how can I come alongside David and be a blessing? And that's what Jonathan was to David. So how are we not to be? Well, it's clear. When we get into verse 9, it says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So do not be evil, even if someone is evil to you, right? We tell our kids that all the time, like when we're teaching our kids. I work with kids, so, and I have my own kids, and so I'm like, just because your brother said that to you, you know, it doesn't mean you need to get him back. Or, you know, because a lot of times when they bring me their conflict, they go, my kids, they'll go, well, he said this, and she did that, and you know, and it's like, okay, well, who is going to be the one to stop it and say, I don't like what you said, but I'm not going to say anything back? And then do not be easily offended. So as I've been diving into my own portion this last couple of months, the Lord has showed me, because this last year I have been offended. Like, people have said something to me and I'm like, ouch, that really hurt. You picked a part in my heart that really hurt. But what the Lord showed me is, Des, you are offended because your pride is hurt. And so every time somebody says something to me that I'm so offended and I feel I have every reason to harp right back to them, the Lord says, now let's sit for a moment. Let's handle what's going on here, your pride, even your hurt. You want to cry about it to me? Cry about it. Let's talk about it. And God will reposition my heart so that I could come back and not come back with a sharp tongue. So the definition of reviling is to criticize in an abusive or angrily insulting manner. So if ever a sister in Christ does this, we ought to not return it with that same thing. And sometimes, and I know this, ladies, I know this, okay? And I do have my sister who sometimes will be like, okay, well, I'm just going to really tell you and vent to you how I'm really feeling. But something her and I have had to learn along the way is that it's even important that we don't always just go to each other and start venting, you know, especially about our spouses where, you know, we're going and practicing that. We're trying to learn that we do need a safe space. Absolutely. You need a safe space to be able to talk to your sisters. But also, we don't want to plague the ears of other sisters of an opinion of what another sister might have said about us, because that we could be reviling in that way too. And God is our safe space. David in the Psalms gives that, you know, I mean, obviously we get to see the Psalms now, so we know David's heart. But David gives that in the beginning, you know, he'll say like, strike him dead, God, you know, and all of that. It's his safe space where he's writing through that. And then towards the end, the Lord changes his heart. And so I believe that when somebody maybe has reviled us, or you hear that somebody was gossiping about you in the faith, you know, you take that to the Lord and you can say like, be honest with God. And through that, he's so powerful, his Holy Spirit, he begins to soften our heart. And then also begin to pray for that person. One thing I like to share with people, my teenagers. So, you know, they're in youth. And so, yeah, they have problems. They'll come to me and they'll say stuff. And I say, okay. And I listen because I do want to hear their hearts. But I say, have you been praying for them? Do you know what they're going through? And then the Lord shows me that, like, Des, have you been praying for them? Do you know what they're going through? And so don't you just love how the Lord does that? He teaches us through our teaching of our children, or of even other children if you're a teacher or in children's ministry. So Romans 12:21, this is one of my favorites. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So as I shared before, you know, I didn't grow up in the church. And so learning the new way of God's family and sisterhood in that way has been some growing for me. And it's taken some many years learning not to have a criticizing tongue. I always think about when Peter pulled out his sword in Matthew 26:52-53. I love Jesus's response to him. Put your sword back into place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? So that makes me laugh, because I always like see myself as Peter sometimes, ready to pull out the sword and it's not the word of God. Or even James and John, when, you know, they're leaving the Samaritan city and they go, you want us to call fire down from heaven on them? You know, and the Lord basically Jesus lovingly rebukes them. And so I love the word, because they give us real life examples, and so we can laugh and we can know, because we're humans and we're not going to get it right and we're going to mess up. But I'm learning also, when I mess up, when I do overstep, when I do have a sharp tongue, or when I have gossiped, because I have, or when I have slandered, I'm learning to go to the people and apologize and even say, have I done something to offend you? Now that's not easy. And I say that knowing with every amount of being in me how easy it has not been. And it's a new way. It's the God way. And that brings us to our next point, to be kingdom-minded. We can repay evil with blessing. Why? Because when God called us to this kingdom, Why? Because when God called us, this is the kingdom-like living that he was calling us to. So we go back into our scripture, and it says that you were called to this, So we've been all called to this living, to glorify God and to make his name famous to the world around us. And if the world sees us as backbiting and not even liking each other, they're going to say, well, and I've heard this because I have a lot of unsaved family, they're going to say, well, why would I go to the church if I have people outside the church who are far more loyal? And I heard it was either Denise or Dawn share this about we all desire to be loved. We all desire to have that sister relationship. But sometimes when we've been hurt, we will close ourselves off to those relationships or even to the body because we don't want to be hurt. And so we know we're all sinners. We know we're all broken. And we come to this place to be sanctified. And so we want to leave room for God's grace, knowing that just like we're being sanctified, so are our beautiful sisters around us. And you know, it's taking up faith like a child. I was sharing in the beginning about the two brothers and sisters in our program. And she was so loving and she was so embracing. She didn't think twice. It was just in her to love and to accept and to embrace. And for me, I hold on to that, remembering that God tells us in Matthew 18, the kingdom of heaven will be like those who come as little children. And I know that is why the Lord has called me to work with children, because it keeps me in a place of seeing their purity and their love and reminding myself, this is how we're called to be. We were looking at the solar eclipse on a Monday, and their expression of seeing it was, whoa, like so excited and so amazing. And their wonder of God, like God did that, right? And they're knowing God is so cool. And I just, you know, remind myself, I want to continue to be awestruck by God, always living in great wonder of what he's doing in my sister's lives around me, and not feeling I need to be jealous or envious or even a fear of missing out. We all have that. Like sometimes I'm like, I want to be a part of that ministry. That looks so cool. Like I want to do that. But we have to know that the Lord has gifted us all each individually differently to walk out for his kingdom this side of earth in different seasons. So when I see a sister hurting in the kingdom, am I looking for a way that I could bless her? And then when we see a need, are we trying to meet it? The Bible tells us that as well as the body. When you see a need and when you are able, go meet that need, whatever that looks like. I can't tell you how many people in my early years of I was saved and I was raising three children alone. I had a great support system, and I also was a part of this church and body, and how many people saw that there was a need. I mean, there was times where there was a need of printer paper. I was trying to homeschool as a single mom. Like that was a wild season, and I didn't have a printer. I didn't have access to a printer. And so people would show up with the papers that I needed for that week, or times where people blessed my kids at Christmas. There was just things. They saw the need and they met that need. And even my earthly family, who I love so much, there was a need. My son needed a father figure, and my brothers came alongside of him and they met that need. They took my daughters to the daddy-daughter dance. And so, you know, we can look in the sphere, see sisters and kids. How can we meet a need in the kingdom? And you know, when we see someone speaking evil against someone else, in boldly love, from a place of love, we can encourage a new direction. And God's word shows us how we can deal with conflict. Matthew 18, 15, and 16, where it says, you go to the person in love. And I believe that that's the greatest thing. As long as we've searched our own hearts, that's one thing I'm knowing first. Lord, search my own heart, and maybe I don't even need to go and say anything. I always pray, Holy Spirit, you do the work, because I don't want to go, and I don't want to have to open my mouth. But sometimes the Lord does call us. So remember, a house divided will not stand, but we are called to stand And we are called to stand firm in our faith. And we are called to be great warriors this side of eternity so that we will see those around us saved as well. That's the Great Commission, right? That we go out and make disciples of all people. But we're called to have that unity first. So may we not spend time focusing here on earth on all of our imperfections, which we all have them. I know I do. I am so flawed. But may we start linking arms with one another and looking for ways to serve one another and how we can go out into the world. Because who knows, maybe the Lord wants to link us with somebody we've never really talked to, because there's a ministry later on that he wants to use us in. And so God calls us to come together so that he might be glorified. And that is the great hope on earth as it is in heaven. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much that your Holy Spirit gave us these words. And then taking this word and this portion and aligning it to all of your holy word. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the strength to be loving and to be gracious and to be kind. Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over all of my sisters here. I thank you so much for them. I thank you for who you have created them to be. They have a great purpose here in this body. It's not by accident or coincidence that you brought them here. It is by your holy hand working and maneuvering in this greater picture than we can even fathom and see. Help us to look with your eyes. Help us to see your daughters. And help us to just know that you have made us so fearfully and wonderfully and so complex in such a beautiful way. Lord, I also want to just pray that you would give them strength to remain and abide. In those days that they're struggling, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give them supernatural faith and trust in you. I pray for anybody here who may find themselves in a conflict. I pray that you would soften their heart, Lord. And I pray that you would walk alongside of them and walk out that conflict, and that you would be glorified. Lord, I pray for anybody here who may have any type of church hurt, because that's so real. I pray that your mighty arms would just cover them like feathers, Lord, and bring them in and show them that they can trust you and that you have them here for a reason. So we thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing in these women, in the women's ministry. It's so wonderful to be a part of. I just pray that you would continue to knit our hearts together as we abide in your word and focus our eyes on you. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.